فيها. قال: قلت وبعد الموت؟ قال: إن الله حرم على الأرض أن تأكل أجساد الأنبياء عليهم الصلاة والسلام. سيدنا أبو الدرداء رضي الله تعالى عنه. Today we'll just translate it in Urdu, inshallah. Then later we'll talk about Umur al-Fitr in English. حضرت ابو الدرداء رضی اللہ عنہ حضور اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کا ارشاد نقل کرتے ہیں کہ میرے اوپر جمعہ کے دن کثرت سے درود بھیجا کرو، اس لیے کہ یہ ایسا مبارک دن ہے کہ ملائکہ اس میں حاضر ہوتے ہیں، اور جب کوئی شخص مجھ پر درود بھیجتا ہے تو وہ درود اس کے فارغ ہوتے ہی مجھ پر پیش کیا جاتا ہے. میں نے عرض کیا: یا رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم، آپ کے انتقال کے بعد بھی؟ تو حضور صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے ارشاد فرمایا: ہاں، انتقال کے بعد بھی. اللہ تعالیٰ جل شانہ نے زمین پر یہ بات حرام کر دی ہے کہ وہ انبیاء علیہ السلام کے بدنوں کو کھائیں، پس اللہ کا نبی زندہ ہوتا ہے، رزق دیا جاتا ہے. انشاءاللہ اب ہم 40 درود پڑھ لیتے ہیں. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. سلام علی عباده الذین اصطفى. سلام علی المرسلین. اللهم صل علی محمد وعلی آل محمد وانزل المقد المقرب عندك. اللهم رب هذه الدعوة القائمة والصلاة النافعة، صل علی محمد وارض عنی رضا لا تسخط بعده ابدا. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك، وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد، وارحم محمد وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت ورحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد النبي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم تحنن على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما تحننت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم سلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما سلمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك وسلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمد وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد صلاة تكون لك رضا وله جزاء ولحقه أداء وعاطه الوسيلة والفضيلة والمقام المحمود الذي وعدته واجزه عنا ما هو أهله واجزه أفضل ما جازيت نبيا عن قومه ورسولا عن أمته وصل على جميع إخوانه من النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل علينا معهم. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك علينا معهم. صلوات الله وصلوات المؤمنين على محمد النبي الأمي. اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك وبركاتك على محمد وآل محمد كما جعلتها على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي 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 وصلى الله على النبي الأمي. التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات والسلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله. سلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. سلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله. التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات والسلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أسأل الله الجنة وأعوذ بالله من النار. التحيات الزاكيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله خير الأسماء. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا وأن الساعة آتية لا ريب فيها. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. اللهم اغفر لي واهدني. التحيات الطيبات والصلوات والملك لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله. التحيات لله الصلوات لله الزاكيات لله. السلام على النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. شهدت أن لا إله إلا الله شهدت أن محمد رسول الله. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته والسلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات لله الصلوات الطيبات والسلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله بسم الله والسلام على 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 رسول الله اللهم صل وسلم على نبي الرحمة وآله 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 اللهم لك الحمد ولك الشكر. We have about 20 minutes, inshallah, and in these next 20-25 minutes, we'll try and cover the five hadith for today. And the subject we started last week was about circumcision. So let me just quickly read to you the hadith, and thereafter, inshallah, we'll try and talk about the ahkam. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم والذي نفسي بيده لا يسمع بي أحد من هذه الأمة يهودي ولا نصراني ثم يموت ولم يؤمن بالذي أرسلت به إلا كان من أهل النار. This is a hadith we read earlier, so it highlights the importance of following the sunnah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and it highlights the importance that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that by Allah, no Yahudi or Nasrani of this ummah ever hears about me, and if he then refuses to believe in me, believe in that which I'm sent with, then he will be from amongst the people of Jahannam. He'll be refused entry into Jannah because he refused to declare his belief in me and refused to follow me. So this will constitute as kufr and as disbelief. And then the other ahadith where we talked about the importance of circumcision. So the hadith we read and we weren't able to discuss this. There's a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said that عن عثيم بن قليب عن أبيه عن جده أنه جاء إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال قد أسلمت. عثيم بن كليب reports from his grandfather that his father came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and he said, يا رسول الله قد أسلمت, I've embraced Islam. I've embraced Islam, O Nabi of Allah. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to him, ألقي عنك شعر الكفر. Remove from you, Prophet said to him, remove from yourself the hair that grew during the time of unbelief. Alqian kashar al kufr. The hair that grew during the period of unbelief, disbelief, during the day when you were not a believer, remove those hair from you. So go for a, he asked him for shaving his head. Yaqulu ihliq. Perform halq and get your head shaved. وقال وأخبرني آخر أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لآخر معه ألقي عنك شعر الكفر واختتن. Another person went to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, informed him that he had embraced Islam. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to him, and this man was accompanying his grandfather, The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, remove from yourself the hair that grew during the period of unbelief and get yourself circumcised. This hadith is reported by Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullahi alayhi. Now this is something we weren't able to discuss last week. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed someone who'd come to him and he informed him that he had embraced Islam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed him to go for a head shave. Now this is something that I don't think many of you must have heard. Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullahi alayhi, in his Sunan, he has mentioned this hadith where he talks about the importance of ghusl for a new believer, for someone who comes new to Islam. So someone who converts, who reverts to Islam, it is recommended, they say, that he performs ghusl. And when he performs ghusl, removes from him all the awsakh, the dirt and whatever impurity accumulated in his body, he needs to rinse it off, he needs to wash it off in order to get proper purity, proper full cleanliness. And that in that chapter, Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullah has mentioned this hadith, and the point he's making here is that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is our Shaykh Mawlana Khail Ahmad Saab Bhitwi rahmahullah, Hazrat has said that لَمَّا أَمَرَهُ بِإِزَالَةِ شَعْرِ الْكُفْرِ فَإِزَالَةُ الْأَوْسَاخِ الَّتِي تَكُونُ فِي حَالَةِ الْكُفْرِ أَوْلَى وَأَهَمْ لِأَنَّ النِّظَافَةَ مَنْدُوبٌ إِلَيْهَا فِي الْإِسْلَامِ فَيَغْتَسِلْ. So he says that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed him to remove even the hair that had grown during the time of disbelief, then removing that filth and impurity that the body had in the state of disbelief, it becomes even more important and even more relevant. Because nadafat and cleanliness is recommended in Islam, so he should perform ghusl. Now this is the one meaning, that as a result, it's better that the person, when he comes to Islam, he acquires full tahara, full cleanliness, and as part of it, if he gets his hair shaved, that's even better. So that is something recommend, that is, you could say, is mustahab. Now there's other meaning to it as well. The other meaning is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed him to remove hair, because those hair contradicted with the teachings of our deen. So they were some kind of mark of disbelief, mark of kufr. See, he had something which Islam doesn't permit or doesn't like. For example, long mustache. So in the same, I'm quoting Shaykh Rahimullah again. Shaykh Rahimullah writes here, ألقي ما كان على رأسك من شعر زمان الكفر أو ما كان عليك من الشعور التي تكون علامة الكفر كالشوارب الطويلة وغيرها. So he says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed him to go for a head shave because his hair were such that they were probably something, some shi'ar of kufr. They were icon. They resembled the hairstyle of certain yani types of kufar. So certain communities of non-believers, they have certain type of hair. Like you see Jewish, they have some braids on the side. So it's just part of their culture. So this is the type of hair they have. So if some one of them comes to Islam, he'll be asked to shave them and cut them off and trim them, so have a normal hair. So this is maybe, and then some Hindus, they also have certain type of hair, some jogis, okay, some devout old enthusiasts, but from the Hindu tradition, they have certain type of hair. They shave the entire head except certain sides. They have a braid from one side or the other, and or anything. It points out that certain types of hairstyles are not permissible in Islam. They are considered as a mark of disobedience, a mark of disbelief. So if someone has such hairstyles, then those type of hairstyles need to be amended, they need to be fixed in order for the Islam to be valid. So if someone comes to Islam and wants to keep those hair the way it was in the earlier days, that won't be permitted. That won't be permissible. So also, it's not permissible for a Muslim as well to have those kind of hairstyles. And it also, so that it's important, and we'll talk about it later, that is not the subject at the moment. The subject at the moment is circumcision. So this point needs to be noted here, and inshallah we'll mention it later when we talk about the hairstyles, that certain type of hair are not permissible in Islam, and there are certain specific instructions for men and women that when it comes to hair, they should make sure that they comply with those instructions. And the third point here is that the Prophet ﷺ instructed the Sahabi, وَخْتَتِن, get circumcised. So when someone comes to Islam, a non-Muslim, and he comes to Islam and he's not circumcised, then it's recommended that if health-wise they are healthy, if they can manage, then they should have circumcision done. Because circumcision is sunnat mu'akkada. It's a tradition which is very important. It needs to be upheld. It shouldn't be taken lightly. Others say it's one of the shi'ars. Shi'ar is something that if a community decides to abandon, it is permissible for the imam of Muslims to declare war on them. Imam means the sultan, the khalifa. So the khalifa has the authority that a certain community abandons one of the shi'ars, one of the icons, one of the symbols, one of the monuments of faith, then he has the right to declare, ask him to either restore it and to hold it, establish it, or get ready to face the consequences. So like adhan is one of the shi'ars. If a community chooses to abandon adhan, then the khalifa, the imam, can say that your iman, Islam, is not valid. Somebody choose to abandon udhiya, qurbani. We will not do qurbani. And qurbani, we will not allow qurbani in our neighborhood. But we are Muslims. That claim to Islam is considered as void and invalid. So there are certain things which are considered as shi'ar, as the icons, as the monument, as the symbol of Islam. So one of those symbols and icons is that people are circumcised. So Muslims, it's important for the Ummati of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to get circumcision. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, and I think Imam Ahmad rahimahullah also, they according to them, to get circumcision is wajib, it's necessary. So if a new Muslim has the health-wise, he's able to, then they should get there, so they should be asked to get their circumcision, and this is necessary. But if they're not able to, someone's very old, or someone says that I can't afford because there's a cost involved, okay? I cannot afford and cost, and because of their poverty, something, then in that case, maybe they can get away with it. It may not be. However, if it's possible, if there is no objection, if there is no barrier, if nothing's preventing them from having it, then it is something that's very important, and they should do it. and this is because this community, the Ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is known in the earlier scriptures as the community that would have their khatna done, that would have their circumcision done, and this is mentioned in Sahih Bukhari. There's a hadith in Sahih Bukhari in the very opening part where it is reported that the usquf, okay, the bishop of Bayt al-Maqdis, okay, the bishop of Bayt al-Maqdis, he had had a dream when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born. Okay, I'll read to you this is an interesting part, and it needs to be just to explain the point. And I said, because we need to do complete five, so I'm going to read this part. It's a long hadith. I won't be reading the long hadith. It is about 2-3 pages long. I'll just read to you one paragraph which is relevant here. You probably recall that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had sent delegates after Makkah was conquered, or after the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had sent invitations to Islam. He'd invited to Islam the rulers at the time. So the emperor of Kisra and the emperor of Byzantine Empire, the Caesar, they both received a message from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a letter inviting them to Islam. So when this letter came to this Caesar, Heraclius at the time, he wanted to investigate whether Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was who he was. So he tried to investigate. So he invited, he asked for one of the, subhanAllah, there was a trade caravan yani a caravan of traders from Makkah Mukarrama, they were in Syria at the time. So he called them and he spoke to them, tried to establish who Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. He was a very intelligent person. And after that conversation, he says that something else is mentioned. And I'll read to you quickly and then translate, and then you will understand the importance of circumcision. He says, وَكَانَ ابْنُ النَّاظُورِ صَاحِبُ إِلْيَاءَ وَهِرَقْلَ سُقُفًا عَلَى نَصَارَ الشَّامِ يُحَدِّثُ أَنَّ هِرَقْلَ حِينَ قَدِمَ إِلْيَاءَ أَصْبَحَ يَوْمًا خَبِيثَ النَّفْسِ فَقَالَ بَعْضُ بِطَارِقَتِهِ قَدِ اسْتَنْكَرْنَا هَيْئَتَكَ قال ابن الناظوري وكان هرقل حزاء ينظر في النجوم فقال لهم حين سألوه إني رأيت الليلة حين نظرت في النجوم ملك الختان قد ظهر فمن يختتن من هذه الأمة قالوا ليس يختتن إلا اليهود فلا يهمنك شأنهم واكتب إلى مدائن ملكك فيقتلوا من فيه من اليهود فبينما هم على أمرهم أتي هرقل برجل أرسل به ملك غسان يخبر عن خبر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فلما استخبره هرقل قال اذهبوا فانظروا أمختتن هو أم لا فنظروا إليه فحدثوه أنه مختتن وسأله عن العرب فقال هم يختتنون فقال هرقل هذا ملك هذه الأمة قد ظهر. And this is hadith reported by Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi. So here it says that the bishop of Bayt al-Maqdis at the time was Ibn al-Nadhur. And Ibn al-Nadhur at the time, he says that Caesar visited at the time in order to fulfill another amanat of his, he came to visit Bayt al-Maqdis. So he says that Ibn al-Nadhur was the governor of Bayt al-Jerusalem, and Heraclius was the head of the Christian of Levant area, the Sham. Ibn al-Nadhur narrates that once while Heraclius was visiting Jerusalem, he got up in the morning with a sad mood. Some of his priests asked him why he was in that mood and why he was so upset. Heraclius was a foreteller and an astrologer. He replied, "At night when I looked at the stars, I saw that the leader of those who practice circumcision had appeared. He would become the conqueror. Who are they who practice circumcision?" The people replied, "Except the Jews, nobody practices circumcision nowadays. So you should not be afraid of them Jews. Just issue orders to kill every Jew present in the country." While they were discussing it, a messenger sent by the king of Ghassan to convey the news of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Heraclius was brought in. Having heard the news, he, i.e. the Heraclius, ordered the people to go and see whether the messenger of Ghassan was circumcised. Now this was Dihya Kalbi radiallahu anhu, whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had sent to the Caesar. And Malik Ghassan, the king of Ghassan, he had been a mediator. Through him, they had had the access to the royal court. So the people, after seeing Dihya Kalbi radiallahu anhu, the messenger, the envoy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they told Heraclius that he was circumcised. Heraclius then asked him about the Arabs, and the messenger replied, "Arabs also practice circumcision." Upon hearing this, Heraclius said that the sovereignty of the Arabs had appeared. So this was the time of the this was mentioned in the earlier scriptures, that the ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they will practice circumcision. So this is why I said it's a mark, it's a shi'ar. It's something, it's a symbol, it's a monument in our deen. It should be done and it's important, it shouldn't be taken lightly. So what is khatna, what is circumcision, and how is it done? There's some extra skin on the male part of a child when he's born, which needs to be removed. And if it's not removed, is it beneficial? If it's not removed, then what tends to happen, that the cleanliness becomes a bit of an issue later. Keeping one clean after urinating, after passing water, you need to put in extra effort to make sure that area is washed and there's no trace of najasa remains there. And this has to be removed, and it's a delicate job. Only professionals should do it, and people who are not professionals, the cowboys, they can do quite a bit of damage. So it is important that foreskin is called, that has to be removed. And if it's not, it has health benefits in terms of cleaning becomes easy thereafter. And the second benefit is the health, as a health benefit, it's easier to not transmit any kind of diseases. So people who are circumcised, they are clean and they tend not to carry any germs with them, any bacteria with them, any harmful virus with them, and they tend to remain healthy and their spouses tend to remain healthy. In fact, a recent survey I was checking, a significant number says that it brings extra joy to the couple as well. Because if the foreskin is removed, it adds to. So in terms of pleasure, it is more satisfying. And more, so this is, these are the health benefits. And as I said, Anbiya.
Another important health with circumcision.
Yes.
It reduces the incidence of cancer of the penis.
There you go, subhanAllah.
So among Muslims, it's very low compared to others.
This is not mentioned anywhere, nothing, the data, that the word cancer wasn't mentioned, but it was just said that it prevents so many diseases. So it is, and I've mentioned numerous other benefits as well. So these are all benefits of circumcision. So it is healthy, it makes yani cleaning easy, it is also brings, alhamdulillah, more pleasure. So this is the sunnah, and then the most important thing is that the sunnah of all the prophets. All the prophets had circumcision, and this is something why with this extra merit and extra ajr and reward for the people for having it. So these are the benefits. So circumcision is definitely beneficial. What is the Sharia hukam? I will just explain the ruling. According to Shawafi', according to Hanabila, it is wajib. And the consensus, the Hanafiyyah, they say is sunnah mu'akkada, but there's a consensus amongst all four schools that it should be, yani it is a shi'ar, it's a symbol. And if someone decides not to get his circumcision done, he's sinful, unless it's for a valid reason. And the valid reasons I've mentioned is health reason, someone is too weak, too vulnerable, and someone is not yani capable, can't bear the pain, or he can't afford it at all, and there's no way of receiving help, or there's no one competent enough who could do it. So if there isn't a valid excuse, then the person should get khatna done, circumcision, and even new Muslims, it should be recommended to them. They should be taught that this is something that you should consider. In what age should the circumcision be done? At least prior to reaching the age of puberty. Before a child reaches the age of puberty, becomes baligh, khatna, circumcision should have been performed, should have been done. And it's better soon, sooner and earlier the better. But it's important that you don't rush into it and do not expose the baby to any serious risks. Because the baby has to have gained enough kind of weight and health, and should be able to go through that surgery, because if the baby is still developing, or sometimes children are born premature, then this is not the first thing. This is not the thing to worry about. The main thing is to ensure that they become stable, and once they are stable, thereafter, sooner the better, this should be done. And the reason is that exposing one's private parts to anyone is not desired in our deen. Keeping yourself covered is farz, is obligatory. And so you're not allowed to expose yourself to anyone. And these ahkam, they apply after the age of puberty. So it is better than before the age of puberty, as early as possible. And after the age of puberty, khatna is so important that even though keeping yourself covered is farz, that is compromised, that instruction, that ruling is compromised in order to facilitate khatna, facilitate circumcision, khitan. So this highlights the importance and the virtue, importance and the need of circumcision, that this is such an important issue, that because of this, that something that is otherwise farz and obligatory, yani that is an exception is made for khatna and for circumcision. And then there are two more questions. Should women be circumcised too? There are certain cultures where they practice women's circumcision. Now the answer to that is that circumcision for women is not necessary, is not a shi'ar, it's not something which is considered as such an established sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Medina Munawwara, there was a lady who practiced circumcision for girls. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed her to be careful when she did it. The Prophet didn't stop her, didn't ask her, no, you're not allowed to. So, but he said, be careful, do not remove the area which is called, I think, clitoris, do not remove it altogether, because that, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked her to be gentle and to be very careful. So some women need it as a treatment, because that particular area of theirs is slightly larger, and it kind of creates problems for them later. So it's better that they have that reduced, cut a little bit. But that is all. That is all. Nothing more than it. In yani, normally it's not necessary for women. And as I said, it's not even as a shi'ar for women. It's more like a treatment. And if someone removes that a little bit altogether, then that mounts to mutilation, that mounts to abuse, that mounts to a harm done to the child, and which would become a sin and which would become unlawful. So there's no one rule for all. As I said, the summary of this is that yani, as a treatment, it's perfectly fine. As a cultural practice, if they want to do it, yani maybe, because it happened in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he did not forbid it altogether, but he did instruct and did advise to exercise caution and not be yani and reckless, not be reckless in this regard. So it is. So I think that's complete. I do not need to add anything to it. And the last bit is that did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was he, who, and did he have his circumcision done? So now this is the question, and they're both narrations. One narration, one opinion here and there. This is mentioned in the books of Sirah that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they did not need to do his circumcision, and he was born as makhtun. Some children are born circumcised. You do not need to do their circumcision because they are born as such. So they say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born as such, that he was already circumcised when he was born. They didn't need to carry out his circumcision. And the other opinion is, no, like other children, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had his circumcision done, and this was done under the supervision of his grandfather. Anyway, one or the other, circumcision is an established sunnah of all the prophets, and from the time of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam until Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was the old Anbiya had it, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us as the Ummatis that this is min sunan al mursaleen al haya wal khitan, and he said this is from the umur of al fitra, the natural disposition, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave as a test to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked us to uphold all these traditions. May Allah ta'ala grant us the understanding and tawfiq. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala sayyidil mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala abdika wa rasulika sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin salatan tunjina biha min jami'il ahwali wal afat, wa taqdi lana biha jami'al hajat, wa tutahiruna biha min jami'il sayyi'at, wa tarfa'una biha a'la ad-darajat, wa tubalighuna biha aqsa al-ghayat min jami'il khayrat fil hayati wa ba'd al-mamati, innaka ala kulli shay'in qadir. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل عاقبتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في غزة وفي فلسطين وفي العراق وفي الشام وفي الهند وفي السودان وفي سائر بلاد العالم يا رب العالمين. اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين واجعلهما وسائر بلاد الإسلام آمنة ومطمئنة يا رب العالمين. اللهم آتنا أفضل ما تؤتي عبادك الصالحين. اللهم إنا نسألك خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.